Welcome back, Deep Divers. You know, we love to geek out on the Enneagram here, and we've got a ton of questions about the 3, 6, 9 types. So, are you ready to dive into the core of it all?
I am so ready. Let's do it.
Right. The 3, 6, 9 triad. It's like the heart of the Enneagram, right?
It really is, yeah. And what's fascinating is how they connect to the core intelligence centers. Feeling, thinking, instinct.
Okay, so we're talking like type 3, the achiever. They're all about feeling, right?
Right, but here's the thing. They're often actually out of touch with their genuine emotions.
Really?
Yeah. It's like they chase external validation, you know, like success, achievements, to feel worthy.
So it's less about actually feeling their emotions and more about chasing the validation that comes with success.
Exactly. They're trying to like achieve their way into feeling whole.
Whoa, that's deep. So like imagine feeling like your entire worth is based on your accomplishments. Always needing to prove yourself. It's dot exhausting.
It is. And it leads to burnout. They end up neglecting their own feelings in the process.
Yeah.
That's the struggle of a three.
Yeah. It's like that friend who's always on the go, always chasing the next big thing. Mm. And you're like, are you okay? Do you ever just like breathe?
Exactly. They might not even know how to answer that.
That's heavy. Okay. So what about type sixes? The loyalists. All about the mind, right? Analyzing everything. But that seems like it could backfire too.
It totally can. Type sixes, they use their minds to analyze for security, right? But this strength becomes their downfall.
How so?
They get trapped in anxiety and doubt.
Whoa.
Overly reliant on external support. Always second-guessing themselves.
Oh, so their mind is like this high-powered engine, but instead of driving forward, it's just stuck in park analyzing every possible risk.
Yes. A million what-ifs.
Mm.
And that ties into their need for loyalty, right?
Yeah.
Seeking that external support to feel safe.
Okay, that makes sense. So we've got the threes, driven by their heart but disconnected from it, and the sixes stuck in their heads. Where do our grounded nines, the peacemakers, fit into this puzzle of disconnection?
Right. So type nines, they're fascinating. They seem so grounded, so
yep.
present, right? They're all about instinct, the body.
Yeah.
But they disconnect from their gut feelings to maintain peace, even if it means sacrificing their own well-being.
Wait, hold on. The type known for peace avoids their own instincts. That seems a little counterintuitive.
It does, right? Imagine feeling your own needs and desires just fade away to keep things harmonious.
So it's not that they don't have strong instincts, it's that they suppress them in their pursuit of peace. Wow.
Yes. And it can lead to this buildup of internal conflict, feeling unheard.
Mm.
Even by themselves, you know.
It's like they're so busy making sure everyone else is content that they forget to listen to their own inner voice.
Exactly.
This is giving me so much to think about. It seems like these anchor types, although they seem to embody their respective centers, they actually struggle with them in ways we don't often realize.
It's all right. Like when you see the common thread that connects all these types, it's actually kind of fascinating.
What do you mean?
Well, they're all seeking something outside themselves to feel complete. Like a void they're trying to fill.
So instead of looking inward to their core center, they're looking for it externally in validation or reassurance.
Exactly. And of course, that never really works, does it? It just leads to more longing.
No, it doesn't. But that's where understanding the 3-6-9 dynamic can be so powerful, not just for us personally, but also in how we see these types interact with each other.
Totally. It's like a light bulb moment when you get it.
Okay, so how does this dynamic actually play out? Like in a work setting, for example.
All right, picture this. You got a team with a type 3 leader. Super driven, ambitious, all about hitting those targets.
Okay, I could see it.
Now that leader would benefit hugely from having a type 6 on their team.
To, like, keep him in check.
Kind of. The 6 would be the one to meticulously plan everything out. Assess the risks. Make sure they have a backup plan. Actually make that 3 backup plans.
So the 3 sets the vision, the grand goal, and the 6 makes sure they actually have a roadmap to get there.
You got it. Now throw a type 9 into this mix.
To mediate.
Exactly. They're the glue that holds it all together. Keeping the peace, smoothing things over, making sure everyone's on the same page.
Wow. When you put it like that, it's like the dream team. Each type balancing the others out, achieving amazing things. But what happens when those strengths, like, flip and become weaknesses?
Now you're asking the real questions. Because let's face it, those tendencies to disconnect from their core, it can lead to some, shall we say, interesting dynamics.
Okay, let's get real. How does this actually play out in relationships?
Okay, imagine this. You're with a type 3 partner. They're killing it in their career, super successful. But in the process, they might unintentionally neglect their partner's emotional needs. Too caught up in achieving, you know,
And I'm guessing a type 9 in that situation might just go along with it. Keep the peace, even if it means putting their own needs aside.
Bingo. And that's the beauty of the Enneagram, right? It helps us to see these patterns not as personal attacks, but as like expressions of each type's deepest fears and motivations.
So it's less about labeling or judging and more about understanding the why behind the behavior.
Exactly. It's like this whole new level of compassion and understanding.
So if someone's listening to this right now and they're like, oh my gosh, that's me. What are some practical things they can do, like to find more balance?
Well, for our Type 3 listeners out there, it's about finding that sweet spot between ambition and authenticity. Having goals is amazing, but not at the expense of your well-being or the people you love.
So making sure you're not just chasing achievements, but also like nurturing your inner world.
Yes. And for the sixes, it's all about cultivating self-trust, quieting that inner critic, realizing that uncertainty is just a part of life and you don't need constant external validation to feel safe.
It's about trusting yourself, that you've got this.
Exactly. And for the nines listening in.
Yeah, what about them?
It's time to step into your power. Find your voice. Learn to assert your needs.
It's like realizing that your needs are just as important as everyone else's.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
And that a little healthy conflict, a little disruption can actually lead to something more authentic, more fulfilling.
You know, it's funny, as you're talking about all this, I'm thinking about my own life. Like, I have this friend, she's such a type 3.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So driven, crazy successful, but I swear she never slows down. I'm like, girl, do you ever just breathe? You know?
It's so true, though. That's a common thing with threes. That drive is amazing, but learning to balance it out, to nurture themselves, that's huge.
Totally. And I know a few sixes who are constantly seeking reassurance, like double checking everything, always worried something will go wrong. It's got to be exhausting for everyone involved.
Oh, for sure. It's like they're wired for anxiety, always on high alert.
Right. And it makes you think, like, what happens when a nine is drawn to that six energy? The nine wants peace and stability, but the six is over here freaking out about every little thing.
It's such an interesting dynamic, right? And it shows you how important it is for each type to understand not just their own needs, but how they interact with others, especially in relationships.
It's like learning to dance together, you know?
I love that analogy. Yeah. And that's where the Enneagram is so cool. It's like it gives you the language to understand those dance moves, to appreciate each other's strengths, you know?
Totally. So as we wrap up our deep dive into the 3-6-9 triad, what's the one thing you hope our listeners take away from this?
I think the biggest thing is to remember that these anchor types, their struggles don't define them. It's not a flaw, you know? It's an opportunity to grow, to learn more about themselves.
It's like they have the potential to be so balanced and fulfilled, but they have to look inward to get there.
100%. And when they do that, they don't just transform their own lives, but they inspire the people around them too.
So powerful. So to everyone listening, next time you meet a driven three, a questioning six, or a peace-seeking nine, remember to look a little deeper. Consider their inner world, their struggles. It's amazing what you'll find. And remember, we all have a bit of each type in us. So this journey, it's something we're all on together. That's all the time we have for today's deep dive into the 3-6-9 triad. Thank you so much for joining us. Until next time, keep diving deep.